Welcome to Victory Christian Center. You're about to hear Pastor Vanessa Schlugel as she brings a message of Sunday service.
How's everybody going? All good? We've got an amazing message this morning. And praise the Lord, it's a privilege to be here. And to let me just welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's already here, and we're going to be talking about him this morning. And so let's just acknowledge his presence here, shall we? And Holy Spirit, we want to just thank you right now that you are the teacher of the church. And we want to acknowledge your presence in this place already, that we brought you with us. We are your temple, and you dwell within us. And we want to just turn over this teaching to you right now and just thank you, Lord, that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to his church. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you don't have an outline, if you just raise your hand and one of our ushers will get you an outline. And again, don't be overwhelmed by any of the references of all of the scripture. This is your resource for you to be able to go away and open up these scriptures and to be able to see what is being shared this morning. And so we're on week 6 of our different kinds of prayer. And I hope you've been encouraged by this teaching. I've certainly been stirred in my own heart to see the opportunities that God is giving us, the Holy Spirit is giving us in our generation to be able to do some things that he wants to have done. He wants his kingdom to come on the earth. And he wants his will to be done in our lives, in our families, and in our nations. And so I believe that this series here is helping us to understand how we can work with him. And so today, we're looking at another kind of prayer, and it's tongues, a supernatural prayer language given to us by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? A supernatural prayer language given to us by the Holy Spirit. And so to talk about this amazing prayer gift or this gift, I'm going to actually talk about the giver of the gift, the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to have a look at the privilege and the that is afforded us to actually use this gift of speaking in tongues. Now, I've got the prayer booklet there for you. That there's a free booklet for everybody, and in that book, I've listed 27. Privileges of praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm only going to cover 11 this morning, and the 12th one we're going to cover next week. And so with that, before I start, I want to read to you, and it's on your outline. I was talking to Stephen during the week, and I was saying, asking him, Stephen, give me some language about the Holy Spirit and about the gift of tongues. And I want to quote from what he has actually shared with me. And I thought, stop, slow down, I need to type this up. And so it says here, I'm quoting Stefan, the gift of tongues is the language of the Holy Spirit. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is connected. Love it. Tongues is a supernatural prayer language that the Holy Spirit gives the believer. Strengthening is not automatic. Why are some people strengthened and others are not? Why do some receive revelation and others do not? Why have some heeded the warnings of the Holy Spirit and others not? He said, it's never automatic, Vanessa. Those who pray in tongues position themselves to be strengthened while others are not. Amazing. When we speak in tongues daily, we position ourselves to function in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amazing. Amazing. Right there, all concise for us to understand. And so, look, I'm grateful that Stephen and I had got a hold of this teaching at the beginning of our Christian walk. We heard Brother Hagin, he talked on faith, but my goodness, did he talk on tongues and the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, and we just listened and listened and listened. And we had a reality check, and we looked at ourselves, and we realized, my goodness me, we cannot do what God has called us to do without his word in us and without his Holy Spirit empowering us. We need the both. We are not about to step out and live the rest of our lives without his word and without his Holy Spirit. And so I'm so grateful that we were taught well at the beginning in the 1980s of our walk about praying in tongues. The hours that we both spent praying in tongues together as a young married couple, I'm talking hours, 5 hours at a time, you know, spending in tongues, hours right through the night in Bible college from Sunday night all the way through to Monday morning, praying in tongues. I mean, radical stuff as 20-year-olds that you kind of do to just check out who God is. So let's have a look here. The Holy Spirit. Let's talk about this beautiful, beautiful person. The Holy Spirit has been at work, active in the earth right from the beginning. We see from the in creation that he was present. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity was present at creation. We also see through the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit was active and he would come upon people and do great signs and wonders and miracles and bring deliverance. He would come upon the priest, the prophet, the kings, and other people and just bring outstanding supernatural deliverance. Not only that, we see that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. Jesus opened up when he was baptized with John, and John baptized him. The Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him for ministry at that time. And when he went into the temple, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was upon Jesus when he was on the earth. Jesus Christ in ministry for the 3 years that he was actually in ministry. He was obviously 30 when he went into ministry, and that's when the Holy Spirit came upon him. Jesus did not operate in the earth as God. He operated, and Philippians talks about that, he emptied himself of his Godhead, his Godship, and he took upon the form of a servant. Holy Spirit came upon him, and he operated as a man, capital M, anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And that's when Jesus said, "The works that I do, you can do also, because the help is going to come upon you like he's come upon me. And greater works are you going to do, because I'm going to the Father." Marvelous. Marvelous teaching, understanding that we have the same Holy Spirit on us. And so really, when I look through the Gospels, we can see the Holy Spirit, he was talking to the disciples Jesus spent most of his time in the privacy with his disciples, talking to them about the coming Holy Spirit, about his work, his character, who he was. And what was he doing? He was getting them ready to be the apostles that would roll out a new dispensation, the dispensation of grace, the church age, or even the dispensation of the Holy Spirit upon human beings. And in human beings. And so he spent much time talking to them. One of the things he said was, "Listen, when you ask for the Holy Spirit, God is not going to give you a serpent or a snake." He said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will our Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit when you ask him?" And so we don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's a good gift from the Father that Jesus said that he would send. Not only that, we find Jesus saying that, hey, that the Holy Spirit is like a river that will be in you. He says here that if anybody thirsts, let him come to the waters and drink. He said, "He who believes, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Out of his spirit is going to flow rivers of living water. And he qualified it by saying, "But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, who would be given to those who believe." But he wasn't there yet, okay, because Jesus had not yet risen. And so we're talking the river of God. And you listen and you read about the river of God that's explained by the prophets and in the book of Revelations, and you see that wherever that river goes, it brings healing. Dead places are made to come to life again. This is the river, the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't just say the river of God. Jesus said rivers of living water, the manifold wisdom and the manifold manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Marvelous teaching. All of these are teachings within themselves, and I'm just going to headline it because we need to get into looking at the language of this beautiful, wonderful Holy Spirit. He also said to them, "Look, it's to your advantage that I'm going to go away, because when I go away," he said, "I'm going to send the Helper." And so they were wondering, because, I mean, Jesus had been with them. He said, "It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper can't come. But when I leave, I'm going to send him to you." and the Father's going to send him to you. And he's going to be the same helper as me. The word is the word parakletos, which means, parakletos means the helper. It means one of the same kind. And so he was explaining to the disciples, listen, there's another one of the Godhead that's going to come onto the earth. And he's exactly like me. And so what was the advantage he was saying to the disciples? Well, physically, when Jesus was on the earth, he could be at one place at one time anointed with the Holy Spirit. And so he couldn't be all over the world. He couldn't be everywhere at once. He was in one place in Israel. When he went to heaven and the Holy Spirit was sent, the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. In all of the earth, he can be in and upon every single human being, 7 billion of us, all at the same time. He can listen to us. He can operate through us. He can do all of this. And so talk about the advantage of having the Holy Spirit come, and that this be this amazing age, which the Bible calls a mystery that was hidden from the foundation of the world. What was that mystery? That God said, I don't want to live in tents. I don't want to live behind a veil. I don't want to live in a tabernacle. I don't even want to live on my son, Jesus Christ. I want to come inside you, and I want you to be my temple, that I can live with you and move through you. We are the temples of the living God. God is in us and dwelling inside us. We don't have to go anywhere around the world to find God. He's in me. He's inside us. What an incredible, incredible teaching and understanding this is. You know, it's amazing how over the years, and we've done this, you know, you've gone to different moves. We've been to, you know, Pensacola, and we've been to this conference, that conference, wanting to learn more about God and sense the Spirit of God. But then Hagin would say to us, listen, he's in you. You just need to draw up from the wells of your salvation. You just need to draw up from the river of God that's already on the inside of you. And so, praise the Lord, another helper of the same kind. Not only that, I've got a point here that the Holy Spirit is vital in the life of every believer. Why? Because he's our comforter, he's our teacher, he's our standby, he's the standard of the Lord that's risen up against the enemy on our behalf. And so he's absolutely vital for our walk with God if we want to see the victory and heaven on earth in our lives. He's not only that, and I'll finish with this point about the Holy Spirit. He is also vital in the life of every unbeliever. Do you realize that? He's going to be here when you and I are raptured. The Holy Spirit is going to be here. Because the Bible says no one can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. And so the Holy Spirit is upon the unsaved to convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. They cannot get saved unless the Holy Spirit convicts them. And so he has an amazing job all around the earth bringing people into salvation. And so when you and I have left here, because we're not called to judgment, the Holy Spirit will still be on the earth and he will be convicting people of sin so they can still get born again. He's absolutely amazing. The third member of the Trinity. Absolutely. And what has he done? He's turned around and he's given us this amazing prayer language, this gift that is supernatural, bypasses our mind, bypasses everything else in this earth, and we can just open our mouth and he will fill it with pure, unadulterated word that was able to create the heavens and the earth. Marvelous. And so the last thing that Jesus said to the disciples when he was teaching them about the Holy Spirit was he commanded them. And he said, you do not leave Jerusalem until you are filled with power from on high. He said, I've already told you about it. He says, now you wait until the Holy Spirit comes. And he says, you're going to receive power. You're going to receive dunamis, dynamite power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so you will then be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. And you're going to do the works that I do, and you're going to do greater works. It's the most amazing love story. God, God on our side. God on us, God in us, God with us. In every respect, in every way. And so praise the Lord, you know, and so that day happened on the day of Pentecost, this day that had been talked about. Joel had prophesied about God pouring out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. So it had already been spoken about in Joel. And the Bible says, and the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all in one accord in one place. And there came a rush of a mighty wind and filled the place, and the tongues of fire sat on the 120. And it said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. Wonderful. Every one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden they poured out of that upper room, and people thought that they were drunk. And then Peter rose up and he said, look, they are not drunk as you suppose, because it's the third hour of the day. He says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that God will pour his Spirit out on all flesh. We've arrived. This is the church age. This is the age of grace, the new dispensation. God inside us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. How is Christ in us? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus physically, if you could call it physically, is seated at the right hand of the Father. God the Father's in heaven. Jesus Christ is at his right hand. The Holy Spirit, this is his dispensation. This is his time for the last 2,000 years, growing up the church to be sons of God in the earth. Not just one son like Jesus Christ, but many sons in glory, the Bible talks about. The most phenomenal, phenomenal truth. We get a hold of this. Praise the Lord. And so interesting. Here, if you have a look there, in Acts chapter 2, it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And so the evidence of being filled with the Spirit, the first evidence is they began to speak in other tongues. And so if you're filled with the Spirit, that's your gift, and you should be speaking in this amazing, amazing language. Now, the thing is that sadly, many people in the body of Christ are filled with the Spirit, and they think it's a one-time, one-off experience. They begin to speak in tongues and never use the gift again, or very seldom. And so we're going to start to have a look at this and just start to see what we are supposed to be doing with this incredible prayer language. What does this do for us and for the earth? Another teaching that we've heard over the years is that, and it's a misunderstanding in Scripture, in the book of Corinthians, where the Corinthian church was an immature church, but she was moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit, and they were kind of in excess and slightly out of order. And because the Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, he'd come in and he'd spoken to them, and he was correcting some things because the gifts were just loose and there was no kind of order. And so he spoke and said, does everybody speak in tongues? Because they were all prophesying and speaking, and he was saying, look, take turns and take time and try to put some order in this. And he said, does everybody speak in tongues? And the answer to that was no. And he said, let everything be done decently and in order, if you read the whole thing, and I don't have time for it to talk about that right now. But I will say this, that there are two gifts of speaking in tongues. There is the gift that is one of the nine manifestation gifts of the Spirit. There's nine manifestation gifts, that they're for public ministry, for signs, wonders, miracles, prophecy, gifts of healing, working of miracles, all of that. Tongues is one of those nine manifestation gifts. It's called tongues, and the other gift is the interpretation of tongues. Now, not everybody operates in that manifestation gift, and so that is one gift, but you also have the initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit, which is the gift of speaking in tongues, which is for our own personal edification. And so everybody should be speaking in their own personal tongue for their edification, for their building up, for their recharging of themselves, for activating the giftings and callings on their life. And so there's two gifts, and if we read that in Corinthians, don't get mixed up and think, well, hey, not everybody, you know, has that gift. Well, no, not everyone operates in the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, you know, the words of knowledge, all of that. They're when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and then lifts off again, okay? And so just to clarify that as we move into this, and so it's understanding those two types of gifts, that the infilling of the Spirit is for every single believer with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And so let's have a look right now. And tongues are supernatural prayer language given by the Holy Spirit. And so let me just read this here. This is another quote, I think, from Stephen, that tongues is a spiritual prayer language given to us by the Holy Spirit. It is the doorway into the supernatural life for the believer. It's the doorway. It's the entrance into this amazing supernatural life. So let's have a look at these different areas of the gift of speaking in tongues. And I've got scripture there. Some of them I'll teach on. Some of them we'll just jump over and just focus on some of those points. So when I pray in tongues, number one, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. This is what Paul was teaching. And so he mentions the spirit, and he also mentions the understanding. These are two parts, two separate parts of the human makeup. We are a spirit being. We have a mind, or we have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our intellect, emotions. And then we live in this body. And so right here, Paul is making a distinction between the spirit and the understanding. And he was saying, when we speak in tongues, our spirit, the real me, the one that was got born again, is speaking and is communicating with God. And it bypasses our natural mind and the intellect and the understanding. And sometimes people just don't like that because the natural mind has lost control. It doesn't know what's going on. And then the natural mind says, well, what's the point? And speaking in tongues, I can't understand. And that's the whole reason. God wants to remove us from that whole natural man being ruled by our natural man and starting us to be ruled by the Holy Spirit and our spiritual man. This is the whole reason, to free us from the limitations of this natural realm and let us move in a supernatural walk with Him. So it says here, Corinthians, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but he's speaking to God. We're speaking to God, and so why don't we just allow our spirit to speak to Abba Father? God is spirit. God is a spirit. The next thing is when we're speaking in tongues, we are worshiping God. The gift of tongues enables me to worship God in the spirit. And you'll hear that sometimes, you know, that you sing in the spirit, worship in the spirit, speak in the spirit. Well, what is that? It's talking about tongues. And it says here in John that God is a spirit. God is spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Amazing, isn't it? And so Paul goes on to teach that. He says, I will pray with my spirit and I'll pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit and I will also sing with my understanding. And so when we're in a service here together as the body of Christ gathers together, it is totally biblical for us to and start to lift up our voice, lift up our heart, and start to worship God and sing in this amazing supernatural language of prayer, of speaking, of worship. And what does it do? Worship brings acknowledgement and brings pleasure to our God. It's for His pleasure that I have been created. And so if He loves the sound of this voice singing in my spirit, then I shall do that to bring Him pleasure. And so I'd encourage you to look into that. So I will sing with my spirit, Paul says, and I will also sing with my understanding, with my natural man. Both. Lift up the hands that hang down. There we are. My body is now worshiping. My body's worshiping, lifting its hands up, and my natural mind is worshiping when I'm singing in a known tongue, and then my spirit is worshiping as I sing in my heavenly language. Wow! If that's not exciting to you, it's exciting to me. Praise the Lord. Number three, when I pray in tongues, burdens are removed and yokes destroyed because I'm releasing the anointing. I'm releasing the Holy Spirit. I'm releasing the Godhead on my behalf. In fact, Isaiah says, and it shall come to pass in that day. What day is it talking about? It's talking about the New Testament age, the age of grace, the age of the Holy Spirit. It will come to pass in that day that it says here that the burdens will be taken away from your shoulder and the yoke shall be taken from your neck. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke. People come into the kingdom, come into the family of God, and they're yoked with sickness, yoked with depression, yoked with rejection and sadness, all of these things that Satan, who's a hard taskmaster, has yoked and burdened people with. And when we get born again, our spirit gets born again. We're free. We're made in God's image in our spirit, but the yokes are in our soul, in our mind, in our physical body, and in our finances. And as we release this Holy Spirit gift and begin to open our mouth and let God fill it with life and anointing, there's no devil that can stand in the presence of God. And when I speak in tongues, I'm releasing God on my behalf. The deliverances that I received in my own personal life came from me speaking the word and praying in the spirit. At the first part of the first 2 years of our walk, we didn't have this amazing word of faith. And so I was praying for hours and tongues. I'm talking hours because I was very burdened with demonic activity in my life. And the burdens would lift and the demonic would lift, but it would come back on me. Why? Because my confession wasn't lined up with the word. But as soon as I got the word, and I'd been praying in tongues for hours, and Stephen knows that, I mean hours, to get free. And I didn't want to go to some of the churches because they didn't know how to deliver people in the place we were in. And so I needed to help myself with the word and with the Holy Spirit. And then when we went to a church that said, Vanessa, you're delivered from the powers of darkness. So then I'd pray in tongues, and then I'd come out of that time and say, I'm delivered from the powers of darkness. And the devil's left. The demonic oppression that I was standing against left. Amazing. The most amazing truth. And so as we pray, demons have to leave. Sickness has to leave. Healing is in your prayer language. Paul said that if the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if he dwells in you, he shall also make alive your mortal body by his spirit who dwells in you. How do I release the spirit? And as I release that, there's burdens being removed, there's yokes being destroyed, there's healing coming over my soul, my emotions, my physical body. You know, oftentimes people come for prayer, and yes, they should, and we can lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. But I tell you what, to get your own deliverance with you and the Holy Spirit and the Word, I mean, it's amazing. There's just such a stability it will bring to your life that nothing can shift you, nothing can move you, because God is in me, on me, and around me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just love Him so much. So grateful. John, like I said, he said, there's rivers in here. There's rivers. There's a river for you. There's a river for your family. There's a river for your friends. There's a river for our city. And there's a river for our nation. And just God just needs us to release it. Take the dam out. Take the dams out and let that river flow out of your belly. Out of your belly. So number four, tongues. Supernatural rest and refreshing. These are all scriptures that were the foundation and are the foundation of my walk with God, with Stephen's walk with God, with the foundation of this house. These are our scriptures. It says, with stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak to my people, in whom he said, this is the rest with where we are with. He will cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Now, P.C. Nelson, who was a scholar in Greek and Hebrew, he spoke and wrote in 32 languages. And he spoke and he said that stammering lips, that groaning in the spirit is all talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit and tongues. And so with stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak to my people. This is the refreshing. This is the rest. And so we got a hold of this and thought, my God, I want the rest of God. I want the refreshing of God. I don't know what that looks like. I've come out of the world. What does this rest look like? What is this refreshing? How do I do this, Lord? The rest and the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, Corinthians tells us that tongues builds me up on my most holy faith. Now, some of these are kind of interconnected, and it's interchangeable and roughly can be doing the same thing. But let's just have a look at this here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. It says, a person, and this is Paul talking. And incidentally, Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of the Corinthian church put together. I speak in tongues more than you all, when he was correcting them. And he carried the mystery of the whole of the New Testament. And he wrote most of the letters to the churches. And he says here, the person who speaks in tongues builds himself up. Builds himself up. Jude says, another one of the disciples, but you, beloved, building up yourself. You build up yourself. How? praying in the Holy Spirit. How do I build myself up? Praying in the Spirit. Now, that word building up means to recharge. Now, you know what happens when batteries run out of strength and they run out. What do? You put them in a recharger. We have to recharge our phones. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Well, you see, we're in the world, but we're not of it. And when you're in the world, there's withdrawals happening from your life all of the time. There's stresses, there's all kinds of atmospheres that are pulling and taking the charge out. And so we come back into the quiet place and start to build ourselves up on the word and praying in the tongues. And then we go back out and we do business with God. And then we do that every day, every day, every day. And so there are Christians who are struggling with depression. They're struggling with loneliness, rejection. And this is not God's will for us. It is not God's will. And so we need to recharge. We are responsible. You, Jude says, you build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And so Stephen and I took a hold of that. And then we read a scripture where Jesus said, could you not watch and pray 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. So as unbelievers, we took a hold of that and thought, if this is good enough for the King of Kings to tell me I need to watch and I need to pray, that's a done deal. End of story. And so we made that a minimum in our lives, not legalistic. We're just following the King. He's the King of Kings. We're kings and priests to our God, but He's the High Priest and He's the King of Kings. And if He said, can you not watch and pray, then that means I need to spend time, an hour every day out of 24 hours to give to praying in the Holy Spirit and recharging myself so that I can do what God has called me to do. And that has been our lifestyle. And sometimes if I can't pray for one whole hour all at once, then it's half an hour in the morning, half an hour at night time. And then as we go, by the way, and I've seen this with you many times, that if you see me driving around the car and going like this with a smile, it's shanda kariya sidiya sanda kasa, rather than go shoda bashara basara basan, this person's looking at you. Although you can get away with that now because people talk on the phone, don't they? You know, with those earplugs. But years ago, they wouldn't, and they think, what's going on with that lady? So I just used to go, shanda kariya sidiya da sa da da, shanda kariya sidiya da da da, when I'm in the store, and just, under, you know, wherever I am, shanda kariya. And it's amazing because we have spent so many hours praying in tongues that you loose your tongue to actually want to pray all the time. And so my tongue is not quiet. It's kanda da shanda kariya da 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 da, all the, you know, much of the time, and Stephen does that a lot, talking to himself in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Number 6, when we pray in tongues, we are strengthened with might. Now that word might means dunamis power. And so this is repetitive, and this is Paul talking to the church. He's telling the Ephesian church. He says that he would grant you to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man. Now people spend a lot of time with their outer man, training and strengthening their outer man, training their brain and their mind and their intellect. And then they've got a little midget of a spirit here. It's supposed to be the other way round. And we're building ourselves up on our most holy faith. That word strengthening, might, dunamis power, that's what I want in my life. I don't want to be around here wasting time. I'm here to be filled with the might of the Lord. And that's what you're here for, as the body of Christ. And so, again, I just want to quote Stephen. When we pray in tongues, we position ourselves to be strengthened with dunamis, while those who do not pray in tongues do not. They're not strengthened. And sadly, you know, God said to Zerubbabel, he was building the temple, and he got incredibly discouraged. And God said, Zechariah, to go and see Zerubbabel, and he said, hear the word of the Lord. Zerubbabel, it's not by your own might, it's not by your own power, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. You will put the capstone on by shouting grace, grace to the mountain. It's not by our own might. This move of God that's about is pending right now in the earth. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is hovering around the nations right now. And He's needing us to speak. He was the same Holy Spirit hovering over the waters, hovering over the confusion, hovering over the creation that Satan had destroyed. The presence of God, Father God, was there. The Holy Spirit was there. Jesus, the Word made flesh, was there, and nothing happened until the Word was spoken. God needs our tongue right now to speak and allow the purity of 100% Holy Spirit Word, creative power, to be released into the earth right now. And when we speak in tongues after we've spoken, don't curse your nation, don't curse your family, and speak and say, oh, it's not happening, it's not happening. No. Let the weak say, I am strong. We declare our nation is strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We declare Jesus is the defender of this nation. We declare that God, the uttermost parts of the earth, are His possession. And so we agree with the Word and do not allow ourselves to bring curses with our natural mind and our natural language. Praying in tongues. Let's have a look now. There's a few of these ones here that's just going to give a little bit more of a an understanding on how to work with the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues opens my heart to receive revelation knowledge. Here we go. It says here in 1 Corinthians 2, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. And so many people quote that scripture and say, well, the eyes have not seen, the ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. We don't know. But the next verse says, but, everyone say but, God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And then He comes in and He reveals those things to us. Why? What it says, that you might know the things that have been freely given to you by God. So the Holy Spirit, as we are speaking in tongues, He is revealing the things to us that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, that they haven't been revealed right now on the earth. Inventions and ideas and breakthroughs and how to rebuild cities like Nehemiah. How to transform an empire like Joseph out of poverty and out of destruction. The things that we haven't seen yet, they're still in the heavenlies, in heaven with God. And as we speak in tongues, we're downloading them into the earth. Releasing gifts and callings right now in the earth. Incredible. God wants us, He wants to reveal these things to us by His Spirit so that we can enter into the things He has freely given to us. All of us have callings right now in this move of God. All of us have amazing miracles and signs and wonders and answers and solutions into this generation. We're carrying it right now and it's in here and we release it as we speak in tongues. Inventions and ideas and solutions, as I said. And so as we spend time in the Holy Spirit praying in tongues, these things we are downloading into our minds. And we're going to hear things that the Holy Spirit wants us to hear. We're going to see things that He wants us to see. It's amazing. And so let me carry on here. Number 8, praying in tongues makes me sensitive to the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit again. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He is going to lead you and He's going to guide you into all truth. And so the Holy Spirit, He is wanting to lead me and guide me. He's wanting to lead you and He's wanting to guide you. In fact, you know something? This is just amazing thoughts here. He wants to speak to you face to face. Like He did with Moses. Moses and God were friends, and we're going to look at this in the period of intercession. These two were friends. He was known as the friend of God. And God would visit Moses, and He would come and speak to him. And it's to see that God spoke to him like another man speaks to his friend. And these two counseled each other, and we're going to look at that next week. One of them got upset, and then the other one calmed, and then God calmed Moses down. And then God got upset and wanted to wipe them out, and Moses calmed God down. It's incredible. And I look at that, and I think this is possible under the old covenant. What could it be in the new covenant? The same with Abraham when God was going to bring judgment. And He thought, I'm going to tell Abraham what I'm going to do. And Abraham counseled God and said, would be God, this is far be it from you. This is not your nature to wipe out a whole city. I know you better than that. And God listened to him. Oh my goodness. And so what are we doing here? That the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us face to face. He wants us to be friends. And yes, we know He's God and we know that He is here and I am not. But there was just that relationship that He yearns for. And so the primary way that the Holy Spirit will speak to us is not by outward signs and outward wonders. He will speak to us through his written word and confirm his written word to us. I don't have to be led by prophecy. I'm not led by prophecy unless it's prophetic in the word. I am led by the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit of God. And so we will have the word that will lead us, and the Holy Spirit will confirm the written word. He will never go against his written word. And it's interesting how God, even in the Old Testament, you know, people are looking for signs and wonders and looking for fleeces like Gideon. There was one time that Gideon put the fleece out, well, twice, but it was one person at one time in the Old Testament. He was a man that was not a regenerate man. Covenanted man, as it were, or I shouldn't say he wasn't born again. And so he put a fleece out. But that is not the normal way the Holy Spirit will lead us. He will lead us by his inner witness. And it's interesting how God spoke to Elijah. And when God spoke to him, and there was thunder and there was lightning, and God said, you stand at the mountain. And the Bible said there was an earthquake, and there was thunder, and there was lightning. And God wasn't in the earthquake, and he wasn't in the thunder, and he wasn't in the lightning. And Elijah's looking and thinking, God. And all of a sudden, a still small voice. And he said, Elijah, what are you doing? And so that is a teaching for us to understand. We're not looking at outward signs, outward wonders for God to lead us. He will lead us with the inner witness that you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Who is the unction? It's the Holy Spirit on the inside, and he will lead you with his inner witness. And so let's have a look at this in 1 John. It says here, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. So how's he going to lead you? How's he going to guide you? With his word. And there's going to be an inner unction, and I've written these things down here, that the inner witness, we call it the inner witness, it's another way we term it, the inner witness, the leading of the Spirit, an unction from the Holy One, which Kenneth Hagin would speak on, the unction. You have an unction to function. You have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. What am I doing, Stephen? Stephen would say, no, Vanessa, you've got an unction on the inside of you. You know. You know. And so it's not an outward thing. The inner witness is different from natural reasoning. And this is where people can think, well, it doesn't make sense. Well, no, because it's not from the sense realm. It's from the spirit realm. And so the inner witness is not a physical feeling or an outward sign. People looking for outward signs. Oh, I feel tingling. And yes, we can feel the tingling of the presence of God, but that's not how he's going to lead me. Whether I feel him or not, I know. I have an inner knowing inside me. I've written on your outline that it is an impression of peace that it surpasses, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keeps your heart and mind as you rest in Christ Jesus. So there's a rest and there's a peace that will just be lingering over you in decision making, and you'll just know that I just have an unction, I have an inner witness that this is the right thing I'm supposed to be doing. And so after we become familiar with sensing that and spending time with him, that we start to understand that inner voice, what you're saying. And the inner voice of the Spirit sounds very much like our voice. It sounds like our voice inside us, just quietly speaking that still, small voice. He will lead you, not in the thunder, not in the lightning, not in the wind, just in that still, small voice. And so as I'm praying in tongues and spending that time, mysteries are being released. And that's what the number 9 is. As we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will reveal mysteries to us. Now, why are they mysteries? They're mysteries to our natural mind. But as we speak in tongues, those mysteries are revealed. Those mysteries are revealed. And it's knowing that God is never late. When he reveals things to us, he's always on time, or well in time, for us to be able to do what he's called us to do. And so again, mysteries. I remember, and I'll just quickly give you I've got a couple of testimonies here. I mean, I could share testimonies in each one of these points. But I remember just praying in tongues, and we bought this first building here. And I was speaking and praying in my normal prayer language, and I came out of that. So as we pray in tongues, the Spirit will show us things to come. He's showing us things to come, And this is one of his roles, and this is what he wants to do, show us things to come. And Romans says that the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses when we don't know what to pray for as we ought. You see, in our natural weakness, we don't know things that are coming. We don't know things that are being organized. And so it says here that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses when we don't know what to pray for as we ought. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. And so that intercession is actually praying for us. This is not somebody else. And so how do we do that? It says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. With groanings that cannot be uttered. And P.C. Nelson says, inarticulate speech. And so that groanings is kurabashikarabasurabasa. The Holy Spirit is making intercession. He is actually praying for us. So we've got Jesus at the right hand of the Father praying for us. We've got the Holy Spirit on the inside as we release him. He is praying for us. And then we know all those things that we're praying work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Let me just finish with another couple of here. Praying in tongues positions us to receive protection from the Holy Spirit. Now this is amazing, Isaiah, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, and he can, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord. When the enemy is going to come in, and coming in to attack us, the Holy Spirit can see, the angels can see. But you see, God's protection is not automatic. He needs our cooperation. How do I cooperate? And when the enemy is coming in, when you're praying in tongues, when I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is warding off attacks that we don't even know are anywhere near us. How amazing is that? That even when they're coming and the enemy's on his way and kurabasharabasa, the angels of the Lord are released to stop him. The Holy Spirit lifts up a standard against him. And we don't even know it was happening. And so somebody would say, well, I'm praying in tongues and nothing's happening. Well, oh, you don't know what would have happened if you hadn't prayed in tongues. And so, I mean, I've got stories of that. I mean, here's one story if we've got time. Shekinah was doing a missions trip when she was a young girl. She was working for Team Extreme. She'd been sent up to Auckland. Some of you know this story. And she was staying in this Christian communal thing that was really, we didn't know that she was staying there. And it was not a nice place at all. And when we went to visit her, we were quite shocked because they'd converted a small one toilet into a bedroom. They'd taken the toilet out. The hole was still there. And she had a bed there. It was just it was horrible. And we didn't know that. And of course, she didn't tell us. And so she was in Manukau City somewhere. And she, her and Jason, another boy that had gone up there, and he was living in the garage on the top part of the roof in there. And so, again, we were just praying. She was on a mission trip, and she was there for, I think, 12 weeks. And just praying in tongues. And I got this unction from the Spirit, the inner witness in my spirit that something is wrong. I'm needing to pray. And so I'm just in the morning, at night, just praying in tongues. And didn't know what I was praying for, but then I just used the binding and loosing prayer. Satan, whatever you're up to, I put a stop on you right now. And I declare that you shall not do. Your plans are wrought in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not damage you. You will not hurt us in any way. And so I would carry on. And it was interesting. I don't know how long it was, a couple of days later or a week later, that we had rung Shekinah, or we were talking with her, and this whole thing had come out that she was actually in the morning, every morning, early in the morning, she would go jogging around this park. And this particular day, she decided she was not going to go jogging. For some reason, just didn't feel like going jogging. And that day, there was a girl in the park that was jogging who'd been raped, and either raped and killed or something tragic had happened to her. Now that is a, oh wow, story, but I mean that is a reality of things that have happened in our lives with four children over the years. Many, many stories that I can maybe share some of those stories with you next week. And so let's just close here with 3 minutes to go. Praying in tongues opens the door to my ministry, to moving in the gifts of the Spirit, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. As we spend time in tongues, we become familiar with his voice. And then also, this is really important, that we become familiar with the way he uses us in the gifts of the Spirit. You just become familiar with how that gift operates through you. And you just become familiar with that. And so as I said, there's much more I'm going to share, and I'll pick up some of this stuff next week when we talk about the prayer of intercession. And praying in tongues is very much a part of that. But let me just close with these thoughts that Jesus said to his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. This is so, so important. Don't leave today unless you're filled with the Spirit, praying in tongues. If we have a look at the disciples, before they were filled with the Spirit, they were frightened, they were in fear, they were hiding, they denied Christ. When they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they turned the world upside down in a few years, the Roman Empire.
Thanks for watching Victory Christian Center. For more content, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can subscribe to our podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Podcasts. Check out our website at victory.net.nz. We'll see you again soon.